are back for another Bengals Beat podcast. I'm Lindsay Patterson, joined by the writer for the Cincinnati Enquirer, Tyler Dragon. Tyler, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. I hope everybody had a Merry Christmas or Happy Kwanzaa or whatever you
whatever you believe in,
and hopefully everybody brings the new year in well and with family, friends, and loved ones. So I hope everybody had a great holiday.
I'll be the second to wish everyone a Merry New Year. Marshawn Lynch was the first. but looking ahead right now for the Cincinnati Bengals, I mean, we joked about it last week in the game against Miami, prior to the game against Miami, and we know how Bengals fans felt. They were rooting for Nell. I mean, I was even looking at the Bengals social media as they were making the comeback, and everybody's like, please lose, please lose. We don't want this. We don't want this. Mm-hmm. And the way they came back, and I think anytime this season you have that football game and just images of I'm going to drop two, Tyler Boyd just crawling to the sideline, yeah. Everybody giving every ounce. And I know it's like we don't believe in moral victories. You look back to week one against Seattle, but they would have taken that game any other time this season, but that time in Miami. But when you look at that right now, it shows, and it might sound really cliche, and I actually put it out on social media. I was a little hesitant about it because I knew the reaction. I think it's telling for the 2019 season because Zach Taylor has actually talked about that a lot. They've never quit.
Yeah, they have never quit. And last week was a perfect illustration of that. For a team who hadn't scored a touchdown in the second half since week seven, and then one game, obviously it's an anomaly, but you scored 23 points in one fourth quarter?
That's insane. 29 seconds, two scores?
I could not believe my eyes. And nobody in the press box could believe it either. We were all dumbfounded at that game. But to the Bengals' credit, they fall and fall and fall, even though that everybody pretty much believed the game was in hand and going the Dolphins' way. For them to come back and to rally and tie that ball game, even in a loss, you have to feel at least a little good that, you know, you fought back, faced adversity, and tied the game. But at the end of the day, a loss is a loss. I don't care if you lose by 1 point, 2 points, 3 points. It's still a loss. They don't say on the standings, oh, the Bengals forced overtime and lost by X amount of points. They still lost, and they have to figure out how to win these games close because they have lost so many games by one score this season.
But this game felt a little different because every fan was, well, not every fan. Most fans are rooting for them to lose the game, and they finally did with seconds to go in overtime. But there were some things that really you could pull from that game, and we talk about the future, and I feel like the way they played against Miami, and look, it might not mean a thing in the offseason or going forward, but I do feel like it is telling for the 2020 season when you look at some of the players out there. Look, we've talked about the no quit in this team. Zach Taylor's talked about it. It's so cliche. But I do see that in a lot of games. They have to find a way to close in 2020. And they have some missing pieces that will be coming back next year. When you look at the offensive line of Jonah Williams, and I'm going to get to that in just a moment, but there are guys you can build around. Yeah. And I think with the unknown of A.J. Green right now and what they're going to do as far as his future, a franchise tag, franchise and trade him, let him walk, we don't know. But there's a receiver out there that I watch, and he's always talked after every game. And look, that might not mean a thing for fans, but he's always there, win or lose, by mm-hmm. his locker, and a guy like Tyler Boyd.
Yeah. Boyd is on the short list of Bengals MVP candidates this year. And this last game of the season, he has the opportunity to be a 1,000-yard receiver once again. He's been the team's clear-cut number one receiver, obviously with A.J. Green not on the field. And he's produced this season. There have been some hiccups, but overall, overwhelmingly, Tyler Boyd has been there week in and week out. Teams are doubling him. They're sending cornerbacks to shadow him all over the field. We saw that with Stephon Gilmore. But week in and week out, he is going and competing despite the team's record, despite them not going anywhere after the season. He's still playing for pride, and he wants to be successful, and he's motivated to do his best each and every week out on the field.
And I think offensively, when you look at a guy on the ground and Joe Mixon, who we have seen actually in the last month or two, all season long, look, he's never thrown his offensive line under the bus, even when they were struggling. He always says, it's him. And the way you look at the positives for Tyler and Joe Mixon, kind of that duo right now, just yards away from hitting 1,000 in the 2019 season, which is pretty incredible for the way that they've played this season. Mm-hmm. And to have both of those younger guys on this roster is a good thing for 2020. And I think it speaks for the locker room overall.
Yeah, it's hard to fathom the way this year started with the Bengals running the football that Joe Mixon is at the precipice of 1,000 yards rushing. I mean, he had averaged 0.2 yards a game. I mean, a contest one time, 0.2. And going into the bye week, the Bengals were 32 in the league in rushing. I mean, for him to bounce all the way back, and now he's top 15 in a whole entire NFL in rushing yards, he's had an incredible last 2 months of the season. And that offensive line, like you said, you have to give them credit too. They have changed up their running game plan. Instead of doing a lot of zone blocking, the Bengals now with the O-line coach Turner, they are doing more man-on-man, hat-on-hat blocking up front, and it's made dividends in the running game. And Joe Mixon is the greatest beneficiary off that. And he's right on the cusp of having 1,000 yards for the second consecutive season. And I think he's going to get that, considering last time they played the Browns, he had a career-high 146 yards running the football. And he wants to finish the season strong. Tyler Boyd wants to finish the season strong. So this will be a late Christmas present for both of them, for them to eclipse 1,000 yards rushing for Mixon and 1,000 yards receiving for Tyler Boyd. And hopefully, for their sake, they can have a W on top of that.
I want to stick with the offense right now, and we'll stay with wide receivers because, I mean, it wouldn't be a podcast every week in regular season if we didn't talk about A.J. Green. People joke about it all the time on social media when we tweet he's day-to-day, no update on A.J. Green, but we finally got an update on A.J. Green. He is officially done for the 2019 season. It made sense because they are dealing with injuries in other departments, so they have to make a roster move to get guys healthy for the last game of the regular season. Also, you want to see what else you have out there on the bench from other guys in the rotation. So I look at that, and some laugh, and they're like, oh my gosh, the Bengals are, you can joke about it. I can't believe they said he was going to come back, and reporters said he was going to come back for the Steelers game. Nobody said that. That was never confirmed. It was kind of the ideal benchmark when you looked at what he was dealing with in training camp and to regular season that he would return maybe around that time frame. Things changed. Injuries are all different for every single player. When I hear, well, this guy dealt with this, he should be back. Nobody is the same. The rehab is different. And as you mentioned, AJ Green never felt 100%, so he didn't feel ready to go out there. We don't know if there was some outside noise. I truly believe that if A.J. Green was healthy, he would have returned this season because he's going to get paid in 2020, and that check is going to be higher if he shows him in 2019 how healthy the guy is. And look, I know you could risk injury, but any player out there who's playing for a contract, Tyler Eifert, for example, playing his first full regular season in his career, he could have dealt with injuries out there too. Look, they used them differently this year in the offense, and I was a little surprised they didn't use them more. But every guy is risking injury, but they're playing for a contract. So when you look at that, I mean, what do you even say to the 2019 season of AJ Green?
Well, there was no 2019.
I mean, what do you say? But there was, because all we did was talk about him, and it's my fault.
Yeah. Well, he's the star player in the team. He's the one that moves the needle. He's the best player on the team. So here's the deal. If they don't reach a deal in their negotiations where both sides are happy, I've heard from a high-level source that the Bengals are going to franchise tag him. Now, the Bengals are of the belief that despite A.J. Green climbing up there in age, that he still has 3-4 good elite years left in him. And they feel like players of Green's caliber star players, they age well, especially at the wide receiver position, quarterback position, offensive tackle position. They believe that even though they're 31, 32, 33, 34, those type of players, if you have a proven track record and you've proven to be a star, that you're in the twilight of your career, you are going to age well and you're still going to be productive. And they are of the belief that A.J. Green fits that mold. And that this is coming from a high-level source. This yeah. isn't my words. So with that being said, the Bengals want to do everything they can do to get him under contract long-term so he can finish out his career with the team. And like I said, if they don't solidify a deal where both sides are happy, they are going to franchise tag him. Now, obviously, all that can change later on, but that is where they stand right now.
And his counterpart to another guy on the offense who have been here since day one, he's given him a career. You look at Andy Dalton. And an unknown with him when you secure the number one draft pick. Look, a lot can happen in the offseason. Everybody's pointed the fingers that Joe Burrow is the guy for mm-hmm. this club next season, but there's still a couple months to go before that decision is determined. Andy Dalton's future, unknown. He talked about it at his press conference earlier in the week, and he says, look, unknowns are hard. I truly believe that Andy Dalton will be playing for another team next year. I don't know if he'll be a starter. I don't know if he'll be a backup. I wish good things for the quarterback, but when you look at what he's kind of went through this season, first time in his career that he's ever been benched, he didn't have his star receiver out there. And look, A.J. Green has dealt with injuries before. This is not surprising. Andy Dalton's had to deal with that before, but this season just feels crazy to think that the 2019 season, I don't think you would have wrapped up Andy Dalton and A.J. Green's career with, look, the unknown of A.J. Green. Who knows if he's coming back? Is he going to get franchised? Is he going to get franchised and traded? I don't see a multi-year deal, and that's just me guessing right now. When you look at the A.J. Green contract, just going by what you're looking at, injured the whole entire season, put on IR right before the last game of regular season, and you look at like a guy like Andy Dalton who's had a roller coaster year, but you know what you have in Andy Dalton. And look, I said it on Twitter. He's done a lot of great things for this city, on and off the field, for this team. I know everybody points to playoff losses. I know everybody points to his prime time numbers and what he's looked like through some regular season games, but there were some good moments with Andy and AJ. And it's just crazy to think that Sunday at Paul Brown Stadium could be the last for him.
I believe it is. I think the Bengals want to send Andy Dalton off right and try to trade him to a team where he can start and finish his career as a starting quarterback. I mean, if I were Andy Dalton, I would probably want to go to a team like the Bears.
It has the Bears written all over it.
A team like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Those teams are in need of a quarterback of Andy Dalton's ilk. Yeah, and the Bengals, I have been told again that they want to draft a quarterback, quote unquote, high in the draft. That's the first pick.
Yeah, the number one pick. So, I mean, it's pretty simple.
And Joe Burrow, he's an Ohio guy. He, by all signs, he wants to play for the Bengals. He's not shying away from wanting to be the face of the franchise. So I think it's pretty much a no-brainer at this point that you go out and you draft Joe Burrow with the number one overall pick, and then you trade Andy Dalton and get some draft assets. That seems like too much like something. Right? It seems so easy. You trade Andy Dalton, you can probably get a second-round pick for Andy Dalton. If you bargain right, I'm pretty sure you can get a second-round pick for a player like Dalton. Maybe, third or fourth, because people know that you are going to trade him, so you're going to lose a little bit of your leverage. But people are desperate for a quarterback. Teams are going to be desperate. The Bears, Mitch Trubisky, he's not good. He's not
no,
it.
No,
he's not it. You've seen what you have in Jameis Winston down in Tampa. He's not it either.
He throws an interception like in every opening
drive.
Oh,
yeah. Like you said, Jameis Winston throws an interception pretty much every other possession.
Yeah. So. But he has a good record when he does it. So I don't know. I don't know how fans should feel about that. Maybe he's just trying to get hot.
Yeah.
But when you look at the offensive line, too, I think this is telling. I got hammered for this. But I think, and it's kind of a hot take, and it's not, and this is not happening, but I'm going to talk about it on this podcast. I don't see anything wrong if they were to bring Cordy Glenn back. I know they're not going to. They're playing a little musical chairs again at the end of the regular season to try different guys out there at left tackle. And of course, when Jonah Williams comes back, he will be out there. He will be starting the offensive line. But I feel like a guy like Cordy Glenn, who we've seen in the last month, could move on another side of the line. But I don't know how willing he is. I know everything that happened this season, and it was a soap opera. It was a whole ordeal, and it was total opposite of what was happening with AJ Green at the time. You're dealing with the Cordy Glenn situation. You point fingers at Bengals. You point fingers at Cordy Glenn. At the end of the day, I think it was Cordy Glenn's fault more than the Bengals, but they're going to walk away from him, aren't they?
Well, I hate to burst your bubble, but when you start playing Fred Johnson at left tackle,
I know.
The writing is on the wall, and his fate
is
pretty much sealed at this point. Again, anything can change. Anything can happen. Anything is possible, like Kevin Garnett said.
Especially with this team. I don't know. Yeah.
He has shown this offseason that he can slide down and play that left guard spot, but you have Michael Jordan there, a young rookie, be a second-year player. He's playing better and better each and every game. So do you really want to have a disgruntled Cordy Glenn who will begrudgingly play left guard but does not want to play left guard, and have an emerging player as Michael Jordan who is developing each and every game at that spot? And I think you go with Michael Jordan and you just cut your losses with Cordy Glenn and say, you know what? You asked to be cut, and we're granting your wish, even though it's going to be a cap hit on this team. Here's the door. I think the first move that you initially try, though, is try to trade him as well. See if he really wants to play football. And if he proves that he does, then trade him to a left tackle needy team. You know, left tackles, teams want those type of players who can have some stability on that left side, on the quarterback's blind side. And Cordy Glenn has shown that he's a capable left tackle. He's not somebody you want to build your franchise around at that position and say, like, this is our building block right here, our left tackle. But you can plug him in there and feel pretty comfortable.
I have a feeling that Cordy Glenn's going to go to the Rams and play left tackle because Andrew Whitworth is going to retire. That's just my opinion right now. No, and the thing about it, I'm indifferent about it. I think you got to find strength on the offensive line, and I think, you know, there's a lot of weaknesses. They're starting to play better, and obviously you can see that on the ground game with Joe Mixon too. But I look at the offensive line, and a guy like Cordy Glenn, it's just he's had such a it's just been a bad taste in their mouth when you look at how this season has gone with the whole concussion and how everything kind of blew up and we found out the truth and more facts were coming out. So, yeah, more than likely they're going to move on from him. And I think at that point, you got to give a little credit to Zach Taylor because he's not really putting up with things. Like, they realized there was a weakness in linebackers and they cut Preston Brown, even though they were going to owe him money. Before the season started, he said, no Vontaze Burfict. We're not bringing him back. He's benched Andy Dalton before. He's not afraid to make moves. And I think he does think about building this team with core players. And that character means a lot to them and Zach Taylor and his staff. So I think moving forward in the 2020 season, they are going to move on from guys who they feel like, this isn't working anymore. And the old organization with Marvin Lewis there, I feel like maybe some of these guys could have stayed. And then we're like, oh, they could have played. We could find a place for them, even though they shouldn't be on an NFL roster. And I think we're going to see that. I mean, it might get gutted a little bit in the offseason when you look at the linebacker room and you look a lot of positions. The offensive line, I mean, it's just crazy how big of a question mark this has been for about 4 to 5 years now since, honestly, their 2015 season when you had the strength on the offensive line. Andy Dalton was having an MVP season. And then after that, everything just went downhill. And I think that has to be a strength. And the good news for them is when you look at this NFL draft class, I've talked to a lot of guys from Pro Football Focus about this. this on other podcasts and videos, and they've pretty much told me the good news when you look at the offensive line and even linebackers in the second and third round, there are tons of them. So you definitely got to stack up, but you got to hit it right.
That's why it is paramount to trade some of your veteran players to get some draft capital. You need to trade Andy Dalton, get some draft picks or a pick, trade some of your other veterans that you're not going to move forward with, and try to get some those picks so you can cash in on the draft. And as you said, you have to hit on the draft. You can't have any bust.
No.
And they have had, obviously, bust over and over again as of late. Get you a quarterback, maybe get a receiver, got to get a linebacker, get another offensive lineman, preferably maybe a guard, maybe another swing tackle. There are a plethora of positions the Bengals need at this point, but this draft is going to be important. And that's something, even though the team is 1-14 and not going anywhere, that's something the fan base can rally behind and be excited about, because this is one of the biggest drafts in franchise history coming up, the 2020 draft in Las Vegas, I might not add. So Bengals fans, you might want to book your tickets to Las Vegas.
Oh,
if you have never been to Vegas, it is a great place to be, especially when there are big events around the city. Trust me, I'm saying this off of experience.
I just looked at that new stadium, and it looks so sweet.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't wait for there to be a game there, because that's going to be so lit in Las Vegas. But looking at some of the players, and look, as the weeks go on and we go in the offseason, I feel like when the offseason happens, we're really just getting started when you look at this team and all the moves and everything that could possibly happen and how different it's going to look at the end of the game against the Cleveland Browns to where they are in September of 2020. But I want to go with one more player. And man, we're really just really sticking with the offense right now. Mm-hmm. But a guy, and I mentioned him earlier, he stayed healthy his first time in NFL career in regular season. And a guy like Tyler Eifert, this team is probably going to walk away from him.
Yeah, that touchdown to end up tying the game. They made a two-point conversion, we all know, at the ensuing that play. That was a vintage Tyler Eifert type of play.
Yeah.
And it was good to see him in Miami have a game like that. We all know he's been through a multitude of injuries throughout his career, and he stayed with it. People thought he was just going to retire. But to your point, yeah, he's low on the totem pole of the team's needs. And CJ Uzomah, he's played pretty well. They have a second-round pick who is on IR right now, and Drew Sample, that the team likes, especially his blocking ability. So when you have a lot of other players that you need to pay, that not only this coming season, but the season after that, I mean, you have William Jackson coming up, obviously Joe Mixon coming up. You have players coming up that you have to open up the wallet for. So when you have a player like Tyler Eifert, who, yes, he's played this whole season, but is injury prone, and his best days are behind him, let's just be honest. So for a player like him, he's very low on the totem pole when talking about re-signing players and bringing players back. The priority list begins with getting you a quarterback and retaining AJ Green and retaining Mixon, William Jackson III, and some of your key players, younger players that you are confident that you can move forward with.
I think you look ahead right now, that last game of regular season, and like I mentioned, Tyler, there's no offseason for you. I'm sorry. You're going to have a whole lot to talk about when you look at this roster, and just as the offseason happens, and I mean, the bomb for Burrow is officially over. They're on their way to get Joe Burrow. I mean, nobody's, you know, come on, said
that. They're on the clock.
They're on the clock. The Cincinnati Bengals are on the clock, so it'll be interesting what happens when draft time rolls around, but It's not draft time yet. We got one more regular season game at Paul Brown Stadium, and it is against the Cleveland Browns. Look, I actually brought this up to a lot of people in the media room, and I said, who has had the more disappointing season, the Cincinnati Bengals or the Cleveland Browns? And I think the Cleveland Browns are a train wreck, and the Bengals, they're still a little hope. And it sounds crazy because, of course, you can look at the record and say, well, they have 6 wins, and they might have 7 on Sunday. The Bengals have 1 win. They might have 2 on Sunday. But I think overall, it is a mess in Cleveland, and that honeymoon is over. And what's so interesting about it is, if you remember when they were losing all of their games and they were absolutely terrible, like, everybody in the NFL felt sorry for the Cleveland Browns. Nobody feels sorry anymore. They're like, okay, all right, you want to talk your talk. You have a guy like Baker Mayfield. You get Odell Beckham, and you don't really use him. And I don't understand how Freddie Kitchens is a head coach. But overall, when you look at this team, they're a disaster.
Yeah, without question, the Cleveland Browns are the most disappointing team. I mean, let me put it like this. If you set an expectation bar right before the season, the Cleveland Browns, their expectation bar, we were hearing Super Bowl out of Cleveland. Out of Cincinnati, my preseason prediction was 6-10. We know Sports Illustrated had like 3-13. So they fell just a little bit from their expectation bar. The Cleveland Browns dropped off dramatically from what people assume they would be at this point of the season. I mean, I'm not going to pat myself in the back, but I did pick the Baltimore Ravens to win the division. But
You did. And I was so hard on the Baltimore Ravens. Like, that is a joke now. Can we go back to the July podcast? And I'm like, who cares that they're AFC North division winners? I don't care. They're not going to win it. Like, I don't see it. We definitely were right on about the Cleveland Browns, though.
Yeah,
we said, let's see it.
Yeah. It's a little bit different when you're playing with a target on your back and you have expectations and you're not sneaking up on teams anymore, and teams are preparing for you and they have their antennas up when they play you. And the Browns, they figured that out this season and they learned the hard way. And Baker Mayfield, he has a lot of mouths to feed over there in Cleveland, and Odell Beckham and Jarvis Landry, and you got to run the ball to Chubb and Hunt. They just could not get it done, and they have been a mess offensively and defensively. They've taken a step back to what you presumed that they were going to be this season. I think Odell Beckham is probably gone at this offseason. I'm of the belief that he is going to request a trade and ask out of Northeast Ohio. They have been a mess, and look at their record. It's been a huge disappointment based on what a lot of people thought they were going to be this season. And when they come in this Sunday, they're pretty much not playing for anything. The Bengals aren't playing for anything either, but they have a lot of pride that they want to finish the season out with and want to end the year on a high note after all this disappointment. They don't want to be the 11th team in NFL history to be 1-15. They don't want to be the first team in franchise history to have 15 losses on their resume. They also want to get Tyler Boyd over 1,000 yards receiving in the year. He's only 13 away. Joe Mixon is 25 yards away from 1,000 rushing yards in the season. So they're going to give them the ball early and often, and hopefully for their sake in the red zone. And I just believe that they're going to play with more heart, more passion, more determination, because they have more on the line than the Browns, who are just ready to get out of this nightmare of a season. And the Bengals, they're playing for pride and their home fans. They're going to be right there at Paul Brown Stadium. They lost round one of the Battle of Ohio. They believe that game was stolen away from them. So they want to end this season. It was a disappointing season, but they don't want to be part of more humiliating history. And I believe that they are going to get the win, and Andy Dalton is going to ride off in the sunset with the win in his last game at Paul Brown Stadium. So if you're asking me to pick, I have the Cincinnati Bengals defeating the Cleveland Browns 27-23.
I'm going 24-17. Again, I think they were the better team in Cleveland when you look at that game and how they've honestly played in the last half of the season. I mean, you just kind of ignore that New England game because when you turn the ball over five times, you're going to lose the football game. But I think overall how this team has played in the last month, they've made a huge turnaround. And I think that speaks for the offseason with a lot of unknowns. And we're going to get to all that again. We're going to have podcasts coming for you in the offseason. Plenty of stuff from Tyler Huff. It's three keys. But what else is going to be up on Cincinnati.com?
So I have a story up how the Bengals do not want to end the season 1-15. They're still playing for pride and they're still fighting despite their record. And we, like you said, three keys is coming up later on down the line. So keep it locked on Cincinnati.com for all my stories and videos. And I also want to just thank the fans for reading, listening, and watching this entire season. This is our last podcast of the regular season. So I just want to thank everybody for listening on and following along this year. This is our first year on the podcast. So I hope you enjoyed it and there will be plenty more to come.
Yeah, we're definitely in 2020. I was actually already talking with our producer, Phil, behind the scenes. Our guy, credit to Phil and Kareem. They've been awesome.
Yes.
I will give them give a little outside information right here. Every week, reach out to them and we plan and we schedule and they have other things they're doing. Everybody knows they kill it on the other side doing news, sports, everything you can ask on the podcast and video side. So credit to them because we wouldn't be able to do this. They find time from 10 a.m. to 9 a.m., 8 a.m. in the morning to late evenings to come in to shoot videos, to do podcasts, and the people behind the scenes. We wouldn't be able to do any of this without Phil and Kareem. So credit to them. We are so incredibly grateful. I'm so pumped for 2020 because we are going to come up with some fun things, new things from podcast to video. And I promise I can't wait to get started because there is no offseason, Tyler. And credit to Tyler. It's been a lot of fun. This guy just kind of trusted me to come up with some things and he comes up with his topics. And it's so much fun to do a podcast. I love them. Thanks for giving us a shot. Again, it's our first year doing it together. So we're learning and we can't wait for 2020. And we couldn't do it without you guys downloading, listening, commenting. And just give us a chance, you know, and I really, really appreciate that. So I know this season has been a struggle, but we appreciate you coming to us, even if it's for a little bit of therapy.
And shout out to my co-host, Lindsay, too, for holding it down this entire season. You've been excellent doing this podcast, and I appreciate you coming on and being a co-host, the perfect co-host for this
podcast. I don't know.
So.
Some say I'm a cheerleader for this team.
Miss Optimistic. Well, that's good, though. You can be the cheerleader for the team, and I'm always just going to keep it real. I'm a fan of football. I'm not a fan of any team, so I'm just going to always shoot you straight, no matter if it's good, bad. I'm just going to keep it 100%. So it's okay if you're misoptimistic.
It's been hard to find any optimistic things.
You're misoptimistic and I'm Mr. Realist. So, but regardless, it's been a pleasure being on this podcast with you. And Phil, Kareem, you two for producing this entire year and being the best producers a journalist like me can have. So making my job a lot easier. And like I said, thanks again for the fans. This is our first year doing this, and you've been watching, listening, reading every single week, and I appreciate you for that. And hopefully you stick around because you have Miss Optimistic Lindsay
here,
and you have Mr. Realist going to keep it 100% Tyler here, and we are going to be back in action every week, and we're going to keep on grinding and keep on going on, and hopefully you continue to listen because you're not going to get another podcast like this. Let's just be real.
No, it's just what Tyler said. We really appreciate it. Again, it's going to be an exciting offseason. I am so pumped for what could happen this 2020 offseason for just us in general back here. So we're working on projects. I promise. I can't wait to put them out. Stay with us, Cincinnati.com, and thank you for listening.